Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. We are currently involved in an in-depth study of Matthew chapter 24, which focuses on the events of the last days. Thus far, we have looked at the first five verses, which discuss the prediction Jesus made about the destruction of the temple, which took place in 70 AD when the Romans came in, and literally, as Jesus predicted, not one stone was left upon another. Beginning at verse 5, Jesus begins to reveal to his disciples the signs or the birth pangs which lead up to his second coming. This section continues all the way to verse 29. Thus far, we've already looked at the first sign in verses 4 through 5, the many false Christs which will arise in the last days. Our study today will begin at verse 6 and look at the second of these signs, which is wars and rumors of wars. The study for the rest of the week will focus on the other signs Jesus mentions in verses 4 through 14. There are six specific signs which he mentions in this section. Number one, the false Christs in verses 4 through 5. Number two, wars and rumors of wars in verses 6 through the first part of verse 7. Number three, death through famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in the second part of verse 7 and verse 8. Number four, persecution in verse 9. Number five, defection or apostasy in verses 10 through 13. And then number six, the gospel being preached in all the world in verse 14. Today, we'll look at the second sign, the wars and the rumors of wars. Let's read these verses in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through the first part of verse 7, which reads, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." The first sign that we saw was in verses 4 through 5, which is a false prophet's arising. And the most popular view of these events, which are recorded in verses 4 through 14, is that they happen during the church age or during our era, and the closer we get to the tribulation period, the signs grow with intensity and frequency coming up to the tribulation period. But the problem is that Jesus did not say that these things are going to happen over the next 2,000 years. He was answering a question that Peter, James, and John asked, as when will these things be? I believe that since Jesus referred to these as birth pangs in verse 8, what he was discussing is that these signs are going to happen throughout the entire tribulation period. They're going to start off small or less intense, and as the second coming gets closer, they will increase with frequency as well as intensity. One of the things that points this out is that Jesus does say in verse 6, says, when you hear of wars, this Greek term for hear is the word mello, which is a future tense, and literally he is saying you'll be continuing to hear about these wars and rumors of war. It's an ongoing process that'll happen over this entire seven-year period. The entire seven-year tribulation period will be a time of wars as well as rumors of wars. But he says to his disciples, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he says to his disciples, this is what is going to take place. The earth is not going to get better and better till we come into some utopia, but it's going to get worse and worse, and then the end will come. Then the kingdom of God will be ushered in. And this last seven-year period will be characterized by wars and rumors of wars. And for our study today, I want to look at several passages of Scripture which focus on these wars which will take place. And the first place that we will start at looking at these wars is in Revelation chapter 6, in verses 3 through 4, which describes what will take place when the second seal of the scroll is unloosed. In verses 1 and 2, the first seal describes a false Christ that is rising up, and I'll read those verses, which says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." This is a picture of the Antichrist that will rise up during that tribulation period. The very thing we saw as the first sign in our study last week of Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, of the false Christ that will rise up. The second thing, as described in Matthew 24, is that wars will take place, and that's what this second seal of Revelation chapter 6 describes. In verses 3 and 4, it reads this way, "When he opened up the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' And another horse, fiery red, went out, and was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." So here it says that he is on a fiery red horse. It's interesting that this is the same description in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, of the devil himself. So I believe what is being pointed out here is that this warfare through the Antichrist is going to have its source in the devil. And it is clear in the Bible that the Antichrist will be directly empowered by the devil, as found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. And it says here he is going to take peace from the earth. And I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, which read this way: when the world says peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. He is going to set up a false peace, but then he'll actually move in with warfare to kill multitudes upon the face of the earth. And then also in verse 4, it says that many will be killed. And as you read through Revelation chapter 6, 7, and 8, it describes at least one-fourth are killed during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And if the population of the world is going to be set at 6 billion by the year 2000, that means that 1.5 billion people will be killed during the tribulation period. Then also notice in verse 4, it says a great sword was given to him. This means that someone else passed on the sword to him. It's not from his own authority. And once again, that would show that his source is from the devil. And through the devil raising up the Antichrist, the false prophet, he will go out through military power and kill multitudes of people, starting wars as well as nation rising up against nation. The other place in the Bible that is extremely significant in aspect to the warfares that are going to take place in the last days is Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45. And it's clear that in the book of Daniel that a 10-nation confederacy will rise together, and out of that 10 nations, one man will rise up to power who we refer to the Antichrist. And this is clearly predicted in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. Then also in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says the Antichrist will make a 7-year covenant, which will bring in a false peace. And during that 7-year covenant, in the middle of it, at the 3.5-year period, it says that he will break that covenant and bring in desolation, which is warfare that's going to take place, literal wars. And some of those wars are described in Daniel 11, verses 40 through 45, which reads this way: at the time of the end, the king of the south, which is most likely Egypt, shall attack him. So Egypt is going to come from the south and attack the Antichrist. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And the king of the north is most likely Russia, who will come down from the north and attack the Antichrist. Then verse 40 goes on to say, and he, again, reference to the Antichrist, shall enter into the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. So the Antichrist will ultimately be victorious over Egypt as well as Russia. Verse 41 says, he shall also enter into the glorious land, which is the land of Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. Now, we don't know who all those many countries are, but there's going to be nations rising up against nations and great bloodshed and warfare during this tribulation period. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. And it's interesting, that is the modern-day Jordan. And Jordan is the only nation in the Middle East, sir, that shows any sort of friendliness towards the land of Israel. And it's interesting that many years ago, God promised to Abraham that he would bless those who bless them and he would curse them who curse them. So here in this tribulation period, the territory of Jordan will escape the hand of the Antichrist. Verse 42, it says, he will stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Verse 43, he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heel, which is the African Arabic nations from northern Africa. Verse 44 says, but news from the east and the north shall trouble him. And so China will arise, as this news from the east is going to trouble him, as well as from the north. So from the east, China will attack, and then from the north, Russia will rebound and come once again to bring warfare. It says, therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And literally multitudes are going to be wiped out in this battle. And I believe what is being described here at verse 44 is that last battle, the battle of Armageddon. Verse 45 says, and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and no one will help him. And ultimately Jesus Christ will come back when all these nations are settled there in the valley of Armageddon and wipe out and destroy multitudes. But these wars are going to go on through the entire tribulation period. It's not just one war at the end of all things. That will take place. That will be the culmination of all these wars. So Jesus, when you begin to hear about these wars and rumors of wars, realize the end is not yet. These battles must take place, culminating in that battle of Armageddon. And it is interesting that in Revelation chapter 16, which begins to describe that battle of Armageddon, in verse 14 it reads this way: for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That word battle there is the word campaign, which means a series of battles. So through demonic influence, many nations are going to rise up against the land of Israel and come and fight against the Antichrist. Verse 16 of Revelation 16 describes that last and final battle, which is, and they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew called Armageddon. And so that's where that last battle will take place, where literally nations from around the world will come to battle there. And then what will take place right in the midst of that battle is Jesus Christ will come out of heaven and destroy all of his enemies. And that is recorded for us in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And I'll read a portion of that, which reads this way. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would strike the nations, plural. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. And the verses go on to describe this great destruction that's going to come upon those nations that the Lord himself will fight against. One other passage which describes a battle that will take place in the tribulation period is Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, which read this way, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil shall be divided in your midst. For I'll gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. So here it describes that Jerusalem itself will be a center of these great battles as well, and the Lord will come back right to the Mount of Olives right there. So this battle that takes place continues all the way through the tribulation period, culminates there in the Valley of Armageddon, where all the nations of the world are gathered together against the Lord, and he goes out to fight, and he brings his victory. Also, you may want to look up Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6, which gives us another description of Christ coming from the south, from Edom, with his garment stained of blood, where the Lord describes it as he is treading out the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So the second sign which we see is wars and rumors of wars that will take place all during the seven-year tribulation period, which will grow in intensity and frequency, culminating there in the Battle of Armageddon. This obviously shows that the world is not going to get better and better, but it's going to go from bad to worse. But we're not to be frightened about these things, because as these things start taking place, it's a sign that the Lord's about to establish his kingdom, his rule of righteousness, where he'll rule over all the nations with peace and righteousness and justice. And to that we say, come, Lord.